talked about this a little bit last week, but this has been on my heart. And I just want to minister to it. Amen. Matthew chapter 25 and verse 24. The Bible says, "Then he which had received the one talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown, and gathering where thou hast not strut. And I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth." I want to stop right there. "I was afraid, and I went and hid thy talent in the earth." Something today that concerns me and gets me a little bit worried about our generation coming up, and even our generation that has already been through trials and tribulations. Sometimes we get comfortable in the church. God has given us things in our life. He's given us talents in our life, and the devil somehow has rocked us to sleep just a little bit, saying, "Well, you know, you don't need to do this. Look at the young people. They're doing it all. They're going to take care of it. You just sit back here and just enjoy service and just have a good time." Well, I believe that is a lie from the pit of hell.
Right.
Amen? Because all of us have some type of talent that we could use for the Lord. Yes. Amen. Yes. The title of my message today is the Danger of the Minimum. The Danger of the Minimum. Hallelujah. Let's pray and let's ask the Lord to bless the service today. God, we ask you in your sweet name, God, that you would minister to every life in the place today, Lord God. Anoint me, and I ask you in Jesus' name, God, that you would allow me to preach this message, Holy Spirit. In the name of Jesus, God, help us not to get comfortable, Lord God, with just doing the minimum in our life, God. Just doing what we can do, Lord God. There's so many things that we can do for you, God, if we just get out of that mindset. In the name of Jesus, God, anoint us today. Touch our minds, touch our hearts. In the name of Jesus, God, have your way in this service. In Jesus' name we pray. Hallelujah. Hallelujah. The Lord bless you. You may be seated today. The danger of the minimum. There are all kinds of requirements that you have to do in this world today to be certain people or to do certain things. To be a doctor, to be a lawyer, to be a teacher is going to require you to take 4 years of extra college, of extra education other than high school. To be an engineer, it's going to take you 2 to 4 years to become an engineer. So many different requirements that happen in this world today that you have to meet in order to work. And excuse me, if you work at these places, I am sorry. I don't mean any disrespect to you. So please don't take it. Please do not be offended, okay? But if you work at a fast food restaurant, basically anybody could work at a fast food restaurant. Amen?
Amen.
Now, some people can't handle the pressure. When you're in the drive-thru window and somebody's telling you something and they're ordering and they got a huge order and, you know, after a couple of those, the pressure just may get to you and you may be like, "You know what, boss, I can't do this." But anybody, most of the time, can work in a fast food restaurant. That is a minimum requirement. That's why when you start there, you're going to get a minimum pay. Amen. And our government's trying to raise the minimum wage requirement, and people all over the United States are demanding raises for what? The minimum. If you want higher pay, get higher education. If you want higher education, it's going to take effort. It's going to take something that you have to put into it. Amen? You're going to have to put something in to get something out. It's just like coming to church. If you want to just come to church and just get what you get, by all means, come to church and just sit. Clap your hands every now and then. Praise just a little bit. But if you really want to get what God has for you, you get in here and you put everything that you can into the service, and then God will do his part, and he'll bless you and bless us. Hallelujah. How many of you have ever attended into a service where, you know, everything was just okay, and then one person started praising the Lord, or some elder was over there just, "Woo, thank you, Jesus, thank you, Jesus." And they started feeling the Spirit, and the Spirit just broke all over the place because of that one person had it in their mind. "I don't care what anybody else is doing today. I'm going to worship the Lord, and I'm going to have church regardless if anybody else does or not."
Hallelujah.
Hallelujah. Yeah. The minimum. Anybody can come to church. Anybody can sit on a pew. Amen?
Come on. Right.
Anybody can clap their hands. Anybody can praise just a little bit, raise their hands. But it takes somebody that really loves God and really wants the anointing on their life to get to that point to where God is blessing their life, to where God is blessing their souls. You got to put as much as you can into it. Hallelujah. You got to put as much into it as you can, as much as you want out of it. Amen. If you want a little in, put a little in. Or, excuse me, if you want a little bit from God, give him a little bit. But if you want everything that he has for you, you give him your whole life. Give him your desires. You give him your finances. You give him your family. Give him your marriage. Give him your school. Amen. Young people, y'all fixing to go back to school here in a couple weeks. I feel sorry for you because there's so many things going on in our generation today. And these kids are going to be under attack every single day. We're under attack at work. Amen. But these young people, they go and they're taught these things. See, when we go to work, most of the time we know what we're supposed to do. We go in there, we get our job done, we go home. But these kids are being taught all kinds of different things. From homosexuality to abortion to everything in this world. You don't think it's important that these kids know the truth and know what's important? One of the most common things that keep young people and young adults in church is being equipped and not entertained. We do not want to entertain these young people. We do not want to entertain you because there's so many other places that you could be. But we want to equip you and teach you and preach to you about what we can do to see other people saved. We have to do more than just the minimum. The danger of the minimum is severe. We can't just do the minimum today. And nowadays, we have fights and battles going over in Israel and Pakistan and Iraq. It's all over the place. Y'all don't think it's getting close to the coming of the Lord? It's not time for us to sit back and just say, you know what, it's another Sunday morning. Brother Bacon and Brother Grissom's up there preaching. We'll just, you know, hallelujah, praise the Lord, praise the Lord. We don't have time for that, church. We have lost mothers and fathers and sisters and daughters out there and brothers that are dying and that are lost. And we sit and we do nothing but come to church and raise our hands. I'm not preaching at anybody today. Please do not get me wrong. I'm trying to just remind us about the danger of just coming to church. The danger of just living our life. We know that we're right with God. We know that we're saved. But what about the person that works right next to us? What about the person that we're walking down the hall with and they're talking about what good time they had on Friday night? Do you ever mention, you know what, we had a good time too at a youth rally. The Spirit of God was in that place. Do you ever mention to them? If they tell you about their good time, why can't you tell them about your good time? Good. Amen? Good. The Bible says that if you're going to be ashamed of him, he's going to be ashamed of you. We need to teach, we need to preach, we need to witness the danger of the minimum, danger of just coming to church. It is estimated that about 2,500 students will drop out of high school every day. Every day. 2,500 students will drop out of high school every single day. On average, high school dropouts earn about $19,000 per year. High school graduates earn about $28,000 a year. So about a $9,000 increase if you just stay in school. 68% of state prisons and the inmates are dropouts. 68% of men and women that are in prison are dropouts from high school because somebody didn't teach them the importance of education. Somebody didn't teach them that it is important to get an education. That's why it's so important that we have been teaching about marriage and families on Sunday mornings. Moms and dads, it is so important that you're here and that you're listening to what is being taught. Because sometimes we just get used to, you know, just going through life. And every now and then we have to be reminded of stuff. At my job, you know, every now and then they had to walk by and say, hey, you guys need to be positive. Because it's so easy at a job. You see all the negative stuff going on. And, you know, and you just, you know, you're like, well, this person didn't do their job, so I can't do my job. And, you know, or they come by every now and then and just say, hey, You guys make sure and be positive. So we always put a smile on our face. Okay. Yes, sir. We'll do it. Amen. We have to make sure that we share the importance to our kids and our grandkids about the Word of God. How many of you know the Word of God is important? How many of you have shared the Word of God with somebody lately? How many of you have shared the Word of God to your kids or to your grandkids? Amen. It's important, our worship. It's important that we come and give God all that we can give Him. Give Him everything. On April the 10th, 1912, there's a ship called the Titanic. 2,228 passengers and crew members were on board. When it sank, only 705 survived. Why? Why? There was not enough lifeboats on board. The ship was supposed to hold 32 lifeboats, but it only carried 20 because they were under the impression, well, this ship is unsinkable. It will clutter up our deck. We want to make sure that it looks nice for our passengers. And they were under the mindset that these 20 lifeboats that we had aboard this huge ship was to help rescue other ships that have sank or that was in need. They were doing the minimum just because it looked good. They were doing the minimum because they didn't want it to clutter up the area. What a disaster that day was. Most of the lifeboats that were sent out were not completely full. They had maybe 20, 30 people in them, if that. But if they would have put as many people as possible. Now, I understand that, you know, when you're in that kind of situation, you're trying to get people off and going and going and going. But the minimum, the danger of the minimum. We can come to church and we can be seated and we can meet the minimum requirements. We can have the Holy Ghost. We can be baptized in Jesus' name. We can live our life accordingly. And we can do the minimum that it takes to make it to heaven. But how much are you missing out? And how much are your family members missing out? And how many of your loved ones are missing out on the opportunity that you have in your hands ready to share with them, but you don't? Because you're afraid or you're nervous or, well, I don't know what to say to them. Just start talking to them about God. That's a good starting point. Amen? That's a good starting point. We can come into church and we can just sit on the pews, or we can do like Psalms 104 says, enter into his gates with thanksgiving and into his courts with praise. Be thankful unto him and bless his name. Hallelujah. We can bless the name of the Lord because he is good. Amen. I asked a question a couple of months ago. If God stopped blessing you, if God stopped doing anything for you, would you still live for him? Would you still serve him just because of what he has done? That's a hard question. It's a hard answer to give on that one. But would you serve God if he stopped blessing you right now, Sister Frater? If he stopped pouring out blessings on your life? Michael Bacon, would you serve God if he stopped blessing you at this moment? The Bible says, Luke 19 and 38, saying, blessed be the king that cometh in the name of the Lord, peace in heaven and glory in the highest. And some of the Pharisees from among the multitude said unto him, Master, rebuke thou disciples. And Jesus answered and said unto them, I tell you that if these should hold their peace, the stones would immediately cry out. I don't know about you, but I don't want no stone to cry out in my spot. The danger of the minimum is if we just sit and do nothing, and if we just sit and don't give God the highest praise and the praise that he is looking for, a stone is going to cry out in our place. A stone is going to cry out because we won't do it. A stone is going to take our place. I don't know about you, but I do not believe that God created stones to praise him. He created Adam because he wanted to have communication with him. It's our job to communicate with God. It's our job to praise God. It's our job to give him the highest praise. I want to encourage each and every one of us here today to get involved and be a Sunday school teacher. Some of you sitting on these pews, you can be a Sunday school teacher. In the back of your mind, you're thinking, no, Brother Bacon, that's way past my years. I can't do it. Yes, you can. Get involved with the Sunday school department. Get involved and be a choir member. Sister Cherie is wanting to start a sanctuary choir, but not sure exactly how many people are wanting to be involved in it. We can all sing, right? Some of us, you might not sound really good, but you can sing, right? Who are you doing it for? You doing it for the congregation? No. We're doing it for the King. We're doing it for the Lord. Join the choir. Be a choir member. Anybody can do this. Next one, be a prayer warrior. Anybody can be a prayer warrior. I believe Brother Fry preached up here Wednesday night about the prayer and about how this church used to be in prayer. The Bible talks about intercessory prayer. Sunday night, the ladies' prayer room, it was full. It was rocking. Boy, I walked by there and I was like, woo. The Holy Ghost was all in that place. I don't know how many of you ladies were in there, but thank you. Because what you did is you brought that from in there out here. And then y'all notice our service Sunday night, how awesome it was. Because somebody prepared. Somebody was already praying before they even got to church. Somebody was praying before they ever got into the sanctuary. Amen. That's what we got to have nowadays. We have to have prayer warriors. We can't be just sitting on the sidelines letting the young people do it. Our young people, we can't say, well, we can't do that. Let's let Brother Fry do it. Or let's let Brother Godear do it. Let's let them handle all that adult stuff. There is no adult stuff. Well, I'm talking about the kingdom of God. It's all about Jesus Christ. Hallelujah. It doesn't matter if you're young or if you're old. I'm talking about the danger of the minimum. The danger of just coming to church. Of just doing what you know is right. You're missing out on so much more. You're missing out on so much more. Hallelujah. If all you're doing is coming to church, someday you won't. If all you're doing is coming to church, someday you won't. There was a point in my life that I started looking around at everybody. I started looking at their lives, and I started looking at everything that was going on and how possibly hypocritical that they were. You know, they do this, and then they come to church and worship. I started looking. I got my eyes off of God, and I started looking at the people. And it wasn't very long, Brother Dickerson, that I stopped coming to church. I started doing my own thing because of the fact I got my eyes off the prize. I got my eyes off of what they were supposed to be on. I was just doing the minimum. I was just coming to church and clapping my hands and doing what I was supposed to do. But I was looking at everybody's life and saying, well, this person isn't right and this person isn't right, but yet they get up there and do so and so and so and so. The only reason that I'm back in this sanctuary today and preaching the gospel, I thank the Lord for that. It's nothing that Michael Bacon done, but it's because God had mercy on my soul. And he got me to understand, Michael Bacon, don't look at individuals' lives. Don't look at what's happening in their life. Don't worry about their past. Don't worry about their future, because guess what? I got it. I'm going to take care of it. I'm going to take care of it. And that's what he is doing. He is taking care of each and every one of our lives. It may not happen when we want it, but it's going to be right on time. Amen. That song, it says, on time God. Yes, he is. He may not come when you want him, but he's going to be right on time. Hallelujah. If all you're doing is coming to church, someday you won't. You'll stop coming to church. Get involved in church. Get involved with the ladies' ministry. Get involved with the youth. Amen. You may not be a young person, elder. You can impact this youth group some way. You may not think that you can, but you can impact them. Get with me and I'll get you involved. Amen. And you don't think it's going to encourage them to see, well, look at Sister Tate. in here helping the youth, or look at Sister look at Sister Covey in here helping the youth group. Ain't that awesome? Sister Flad could help. Amen. We could all do something for the kingdom of God. We could all do something for the kingdom of God. With the danger of the minimum, Satan is rocking us to sleep. He's rocking us to sleep, saying, hey, everything's going to be okay. It's going to be all right. Sometimes we let our power have the minimum too. Acts chapter 1 and verse number 8, Jesus said that we shall receive power after that the Holy Ghost has come upon us. I'm not talking about power over your family or power over your wife or your husband. I'm talking about power over Satan. Sometimes we forget that the power that Jesus Christ has given to us is the same power that he had when he was on this earth. We can't do it on our own. I can't say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Michael Bacon, because guess what? It's not going to work. But when you say, Satan, I rebuke you in the name of Jesus, great things will happen. He has to flee. That's what my Bible says, that he has to flee when we mention the name of Jesus. We have power, church. We have the anointing. We have the anointing. We just have to use it. We just have to apply it to our lives. There's a scripture in the Bible that says, be doers of the word and not hearers only. We can hear somebody preach. We can hear somebody teach all day long, but it's not until we apply it to our lives. It's not until we actually act on it. Is it going to be beneficial to our lives? Amen? It's not going to be beneficial to our lives until we act on it, and we have the power of God. We just have to use it. We just have to use it. Living for God easy will be hard, but living for God hard will be easy. In other words, if you just playing games with the Lord, if you're just trying to live an easy life, tell you what, Satan knows. And he's going to attack you left, right, up and down, all over the place. And when you trip and fall and you step and stutter and everything else, guess what? Tomorrow, he's going to be back. If you try to live that easy life for God, it's just, patty cake, hallelujah. But if you really get into the Word, if you really study the Word, if you really live your life holy and acceptable unto God, which is our reasonable service, if you really get into the Word, Satan's going to come to you and he's going to try to play them little games or whatever, and you're going to say, Satan, get behind me. I ain't got time for this. I got things to do. Next time, what's he going to do? He ain't going to try that. After a while, he's going to realize, you know what? There ain't no sense in messing with Brother Bowman because he's full of Jesus. Amen? There ain't no sense in messing with that person because they're full of power. They're full of the anointing. They're full of Jesus Christ. I ain't even going to waste my time with them. But the danger of the minimum. The danger of the minimum. Don't set yourself inside of a box where God can't use you. Don't get that mindset that, God can't use me because, I'm older. I'm not going to say old. That's not a good term. But I'm older. God can't use me. My prime is what they call it. My prime was up 20 years ago, 30 years ago. Some of y'all say 40 years ago. Don't put yourself in a box to where God can't use you. God can use each and every one of us doing something. Friday night, we heard that all of us can be preachers. You may not have a church. You may not have a pulpit that you can preach. But you're going to preach to somebody. If not by your words, by your lifestyle, and by your actions. And by your actions. By the way you drive on the road too. Yeah. Amen. For the kingdom of heaven is as a man traveling into a far country who called his own servants and delivered unto them his goods. And unto one he gave 5 talents, to another he gave 2 talents, and to another he gave 1 talent. To every man according to his several ability. To everyone according to his ability. So God's not going to give you a talent that you can't use. We all have abilities in our life. One of the worst things that I think somebody could say about somebody is, man, they are so full of potential. Because when you say that, that means that they have what they need to have, but they're not using it. So full of potential. Well, use that potential. Saint of God, use that potential. Use what God has given you. The Bible says that he gave it to them for their ability, according to what they could do. He gave them to, I mean, he's not going to ask you to go climb some mountain if you're in a wheelchair. I mean, that, you know, that's just not even sensible. But God is not going to ask something of you that you can't do. He's not going to ask you to do something great if you're not ready for it. I mean, he's not going to say, Brother Colton, I want you to go be a missionary in Africa tomorrow. Hop on a plane and go. Well, is Brother Colton ready? Only he can answer that. But he's not going to ask you to do something that you're not ready for. He's not going to give you something that you shouldn't use unless you can actually use it according to his ability. And straightway took his journey. Verse number 16. Then he that hath received the 5 talents went and traded with the same and made 5 other talents. So now he has 10 talents. And likewise, he that had received 2, he also gained another 2. But he that received the 1 went and digged in the earth and hid his Lord's money. After a long time, the Lord of the servants cometh and reckoning with them. Then he which had received the 1 talent came and said, Lord, I knew that thou art a hard man, reaping where thou hast not sown and gathering where thou hast not strawed. And I was afraid and went and hid my talent in the earth. Move down to verse number 28. Take therefore the talent from him and give it unto him that hath 10. For unto everyone that hath shall be given, and he that hath an abundance. But from him that hath not shall be taken away, even which he hath. And cast ye the unprofitable servant into outer darkness. There shall be weeping and gnashing of teeth. I'm telling you, if you got something that God has given you, you need to apply it. You need to apply it to your life. You need to apply it to the church's life. When you get involved, when you start doing things in the church, people's mindset changes. They start getting encouraged. Start saying, you know what? We can do this. We can do this. We can win the lost. We can have revival in the church. Amen. Amen. But it takes people getting involved. It takes more than just doing the minimum. It takes more than just coming to church. It takes more than just having a great time at church. Because every time that you leave this church building, you should think to yourself, I'm leaving my comfort zone. And you're going into the world. We also heard Friday night, let the war begin. There's a war going on, church. It's a war between us and the devil. There's a war going on between us and the devil. And if you're not ready to fight, I'm afraid that you might be left on the sidelines. I'm afraid that you might be just doing the minimum and just coming to church. And before too long, you won't be coming to church. Because it'll get too hard for you. God will require a little bit more than you want to give. Something will happen in your mind or in your attitude that you'll start looking at people and you'll start looking at things that are going on instead of worried about God, instead of focusing upon Jesus Christ. You'll be worried about what's going on around you. And I'm afraid that before too long, you'll be thinking, you know what? That's just not the church that I want to go to. If you will, stand with me this morning. The minimum that I speak of today is the minimum of just coming to church. We can't just expect to come to church and everything is going to be just fine. But we have to get involved with our church. We have to get involved with God. We have to get involved with His ministry. We have to get involved with His kingdom. There are so many things that God wants to do in Athens, Texas, but it's going to take somebody. It's going to take some people to get in the same mindset, to get in one mind and in one accord and do His will for their life. Amen? God has a will for each and every one of our lives. He wants to do something great in our lives. But we have to be willing to step out and to do more than the minimum. We have to witness more. We have to pray more. We have to read our Bibles a little bit more. We have to do more than the minimum. God isn't looking for the minimum to enter into the kingdom of heaven. He gave us a commandment to go and to preach, not go and to sit. He told us to go and preach the gospel unto every nation, baptizing them in the name of the Father and the Son and the Holy Spirit, and sharing the gospel with them. What is the gospel? The gospel is the good news. Sharing the good news with the people. 1 Peter chapter 2 and verse number 9 says, "But ye are a chosen generation, a royal priesthood, a holy nation, a peculiar people, that we should show forth His praises of Him who hath called us out of darkness and into His marvelous light." We are a little bit different. It's okay to be different. I talked to the young people Wednesday night and told them that, you know what? People are going to make fun of you at school. They're going to say bad things about you. They're going to call you names. But it's okay. They're going to do things that may not be right with you. But it's okay. It's okay. Because as long as you're focused on God, as long as you got your mindset where it's supposed to be at, you can be just like a duck, and when it falls on you, just shake it off. Don't worry about it. Don't wear your feelings up here on your shoulders. Hallelujah. The danger of the minimum. I'm not going to ask you to raise your hand, but only you know in your life right now whether or not you're only doing the minimum. You're only doing what is required of you. So much more is waiting. So many more people will be impacted spiritually, physically, emotionally, if you'll just step out and do more than the minimum. Hallelujah. I'm opening up these altars today. You can come pray. You can pray where you're at, wherever you want to. But I pray and I ask the Lord, and I ask you today that you would do a little more than just the minimum. That you would get involved. If you don't know what your talent is, if you don't know what God has called you to do, ask Him. Ask the Lord. Say, "Lord, please reveal to me what my talent is. Reveal to me what you want me to do with my life." And I do believe that He will do that. Some of you know the Bible inside and out. You've read it upside down, backwards, cover to cover. You can be used in the kingdom of God. There are so many Bible studies that are waiting to be taught. So many people that want to know about God. So many people that want to learn about Jesus Christ. We can get you involved. We can do more than the minimum. Hallelujah, because there is danger in the minimum. There is danger in the minimum. God, we ask you today, Holy Spirit, that you would speak to our hearts today, God. You see each life. You see each family. You see each individual, God. We ask you today, speak to our hearts, God. Let us know what you would want us to do, God. Reveal to us, Lord God, our talent if we don't know it already. We want to work in your kingdom, God. We want to do things for you, God. We know that you're going to be there, God. Sometimes it's hard for us to step out. We ask you in your sweet name, God, that you would bless us today. In the name of Jesus, anoint our lives, anoint our mouth, Lord God, anoint our voice as we speak to people. bring back to remembrance, Lord God, scriptures when we're talking to people, Lord. When we're witnessing to somebody, Lord God, be there. Be our voice, God. In your name, Holy Spirit, God. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. In the name of Jesus. I will give you